welcome to Turn the Page, the official podcast of the Syosset Public Library.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Turn the Page. I'm your host today, Jen, and I am joined by the author of a book that I was just explaining absolutely floored me last week. I was reading it right before I was meeting up with a friend, and then I had to meet my friend weeping, but it spawned a really good conversation, and it's a really lovely reading experience. So hello, welcome to the show. Could I ask you to introduce yourself and your book, please?
Of course. Thanks so much for having me. I'm Sierra Birch, and my book is a YA called Something Kindred. And it's about a girl who moves briefly for the summer to rural Maryland with her mom to help care for her dying estranged grandmother. And while she's there, sort of uncovers some family secrets, maybe sees some ghosts, and falls for a local girl.
It's so lovely. And I think it does both the horror and the romance so well. And that's actually my first question about when you are blending the two, you know, how do you balance those two forces? And do the boundaries blur for you? Because like romance can be really scary when you are experiencing it, but then horror can also be like fun and intoxicating. So yeah, how do you see like the genre balance and how you use both?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's definitely a fun thing to play with, sort of like, you know, because romance, I guess, feels so alive. And then when you have ghosts, they're very much not alive. But I think I just treated it all as people, you know, and as humanity. And I really tried to find the humanity in the dead, you know, because these were people who had once been alive, and they had lives and they had names and families. And so that was really important to me. So even though it's supposed to be like a little bit horror and scary, that their lives remain at the forefront, even in death, instead of just being like spooky, ooh, like ghosts, you know. And then with the romance, I think I just took that organically as well. I think I really followed Jerrica's lead and how she interacted with Kat and just everything that was going on with them. And so blending the two, you know, Kat is very tied to the Echoes and Coldwater already. And so that was sort of an in for me that I had going on, so that like Jerrica really cares about this person, and then this person feels a certain way towards the Echoes, and then Jerrica herself feels a certain way. And so it all sort of formed, I want to say, on its own, even though I did write it, but it sort of felt organic for me, especially because the Echoes came a lot later in like my drafts. And so it was really interesting, but fun experience to see how they all played into one another.
Oh, that is really interesting. Yeah, I was wondering if you could talk a little bit more about maybe crafting Jerrica and her perspective, because she's such a beautiful character. She is really hopeful, but also really hurt. And she's really smart, but she makes a lot of rash decisions too. And she's very like ready to see the world and experience it, but really scared too. And she contains all these like really beautiful contradictions. So could you talk about, yeah, what went into shaping her and also writing a bisexual protagonist? Because as a bisexual myself, it is so lovely to see a protagonist and, you know, to see the literature that I wish I had when I was like the age where I would have been reading it, like as the right age audience. yeah, so could you talk a little bit about where she comes from?
Yeah, thank you. I think Jerrica's probably, it's funny because I think she's the character that I have that's maybe most like myself, but also most different to me. And I worked on her, so Something Kindred was originally my grad school thesis. And so Jerrica and I were together for a long time, a good many years. And I think she just, I initially started writing her from a place of like of grief myself, because I started writing this after my own grandmother had died, like a very quick bout with cancer. And so that sort of initially inspired the book. And so I think I was writing Jerrica as just like a cathartic type of character. Like I wanted her to be experiencing potentially this loss, but it's someone she doesn't know. And essentially she was coming from like a place of grief, but a place of anger as well, which I always think is interesting because you never or I feel like society in general doesn't talk about the anger that can come along with grief. And so Jerrica has yet to experience grief when we meet her or anything, but she does have a lot of anger that she's, being dragged on this trip. It's for this person that she barely knows, that her mom honestly barely knows at this point. And so I was like, I want her to be angry. And then eventually her anger turned into a lot of other things, but a lot of like sort of like self-doubt and confusion and like betrayal, but also love. And so she's sort of formed from all those different contradictions. And I would like to say she sort of grew up in my imagination and in the many drafts of the book, and that, I put her through a lot of stuff, but there are some drafts when I put her through more things than others. And so getting to experience her reactions to some of those things that I might have cut was like, okay, so that's how she would react in this situation. But now I'm going to put her in a completely different situation. And so I think just having the time to play with her and to grow with her, because of course, while writing, I also got older and I also had more experiences. She just sort of came into play that way. And then, like, I'm a very character-based and character-driven writer. And so just throughout her interactions with people, sometimes she would surprise me. And I was like, oh, okay, that's how you would handle this conversation. Or maybe you handled this conversation terribly. And that was just, yeah, she sort of grew up kind of like a little baby. Like I like raised her for a number of years. And then in terms of writing a bisexual character, I'm also bisexual myself, but I didn't realize it until like college. And so it felt a little bit late for me. And for Jerrica, I think it was always just like I never had a question of like, oh, is she a lesbian or is she straight? It was always just like she came to me fully formed as bisexual. And that was really fun for me because I do love bisexual representation. Like, I feel like it's always like, oh, it's just sapphic representation or just gay representation. And it's like, no, like some people like both or like more, like are pansexual and things like that. And I knew that I wanted to have the reader and to have her experience that. But I also didn't want to do like a full-blown like love triangle, because I feel like when there's a bisexual character, it's like, okay, time for she loves her and her, and then and I wanted it to be a little messy because Jerrica is honestly can be messy, but I didn't want it to be full-blown like bisexual stereotype, which I hope that I've managed. And yeah, and so I never had any sort of doubts about I never had any doubts that she would have any doubts as well. Or that she wouldn't sort of be accepted as for who she was. Her bisexuality is a big part of who she is, but it's never, no one's ever like, oh, are you sure? Or like, and so that was important to me.
Yeah, that's really lovely. And I think you're spot on because a lot of times I think, yeah, when there are bisexual protagonists, you do get into the really full-blown love triangle. And oftentimes it's like presented as a like you've got to choose, like not just between like the people in front of you, between like your orientations or like whatever, and so just having it be like organic and natural like that is really like really refreshing. Could you talk a little bit about Kat too? Because I really also loved her, and I love the ways in which like they had parts that were similar and that spoke to each other, and then they had parts that like were not in agreement. And it's also is like a very realistic, sometimes messy sort of falling into love. And I'm always interested in romance about how you balance the things that are bringing them together and like the forces that are tearing them apart. So could you talk about like, yeah, where she came from and how you crafted their dynamic?
Yeah, for sure. So Kat sort of came with the town, I guess you could say. She sort of was like a package deal when I was coming up with Cold Water. It was like, oh, there's this girl. And she also, like Jerrica, I don't usually write an idea until my characters are sort of fully fleshed out. And so with Kat, I had fun because she was so tied to Cold Water. And that's the thing that she herself hates. But in my mind, they were like very inextricably linked, which I think helped in the formation of her and why she was just so sort of desperate to leave town. Because even I, sort of her author, her creator, had tied them so close together. And I think Kat was just very. I did a lot to sort of make sure she wasn't like manic pixie dream girl, you could say. But she is, and at the end of the day, though, I had to remember that she's a teenager and she's She's in a very tiny town where everyone knows each other. And that, of course, like the type of person that she is, she wants to see things and explore. And so, of course, she would want to get away. But I also had fun playing with some other characters who are like content in this town and find her the strange one for, always wanting to leave and like rallying so heavily against the town that for many other people is perfectly fine. And so with Kat, I just sort of played with a lot of that, her wanting to leave, but how well she knows the town and the people in it. And, she has multiple jobs. Like, so you sort of see her all over the place. And so she is very ingrained into the fabric of this place. Same with her relationship, like with the Echoes. And so I wanted that sort of push and pull for her, where it's like the more she wants to leave, the more she is ingrained in like the fabric of things. And now here comes Jerrica, who wants to be ingrained into the fabric of this place, sort of. And it's like, oh, well, do I now want to be more involved in the town, or do I still want to leave? And so I think that's sort of like at the core of Kat's character, where it's like she very much wants to go and like, but she has a lot to stay for at the same time. And then with her dynamic with Jerrica, I initially sort of wanted them to be foils in a way, with that like idea of like you have a home and I don't sort of have a home, but you want to leave and I desperately want to stay or to find this place. And so in that case, I think they were. And in terms of the Echoes, I think they were sort of foils. But I also think there's just a like a fun sweetness to them, because Kat is very like, outgoing in a way, and she's also like very jokey, and I think it brings that side out of Jerrica that she where she's usually more like reserved or introverted or anxious about things, and Kat is just not, and she gets her to do things that maybe she wouldn't, which felt very teenager, on the brink of like becoming an adult or moving into the next stage of your life. And so I wanted them to be those foils, but also to bring out things in each other, that either made each other better or sometimes make each other worse. And it was just interesting to explore.
Yeah, it's a really beautiful relationship in the way it develops, and it does feel very organic. And I love that the way the foil bit that you were just talking about, because they both are jealous of each other for like the thing that the other person hates. And like that does,
Exactly.
yeah, such an interesting dynamic. And the way that they both relate to cold water and everybody in the town relates to cold water is so interesting too. So, could we talk a little bit about like crafting cold water, because it is a fictionalized town, but it is based on real towns that existed.
Yes, it's sort of, and it's based off of my grandparents' hometown, on the eastern shore of Maryland. Which I won't say the town, but it's very rural place that I grew up visiting occasionally. And I always thought it was like the worst place ever because it was so boring. There was no cell phone service. There was like, and it's more of a just a collection of houses than an actual town. But it was definitely my inspiration for cold water. And then in doing research, like seeing towns by formerly enslaved people, like how they were created and where they were created. And so that was definitely like a big inspiration for me. And then creating cold water itself, I think maybe the hardest part was the name because, well, I'm bad at naming things. And I also had to make sure that there wasn't like a similar, like a real place called Coldwater, Maryland. And so I had like a whole list in like this tiny notebook. And I just was like, okay, I know that it's by a river because the real town is like actually by a river. And I was like, okay. And there's a river in the book and I wanted to do something with it. So it's like, okay, it has to be by a river. Like, how did people name towns that were near rivers? And honestly, naming conventions are pretty simple for the most part. And so I had like a bunch of them, so like by water or at water. And then I was like, the water in the river is cold. So it's now cold water. And then I had to make this an actual town compared to my grandparents' hometown, which is just houses, really. And so I thought of things that we would see on the way to Maryland, where it's like, okay, there's an American Legion, because there's always an American Legion. And then, you have to have grocery stores. And I really wanted them to have a sort of main street, just because I think main streets are kind of cute. And they're very like small town-esque, where everyone can sort of congregate. And then after I did that, the town sort of started piecing itself together like Legos, you know? And I think the hardest part was keeping track of where I said everything was. Like, oh, did I say that the grocery store was near the church? Is that true? Like later on when I'm writing, I'm like, okay. But I think I made it easier for myself at the same time because you can get around in like 30 minutes of walking in the whole place.
That's super impressive to me because I'm like, I'm terrible with like real geography that exists like before my eyes. And so to imagine keeping track of like fake geography is very impressive to me.
I'm bad with real geography too, especially since I don't drive. And so it's just like, oh gosh, they're gonna walk. Everyone's walking.
And you know, I think it's really beautiful and moving the way that you present a town with a past that was both traumatic for the individuals who experienced a particular event. I don't want to spoil too much, so I will, you know, let you control the reins of what we say and what we don't say in that way. And it contrasts the way that like trauma can move through entire populations of people, entire towns, entire streets, or what have you, and through families. And so it's about like a lot of different kinds of intergenerational trauma as well. And so when you were crafting the setting and like the story with these characters, did they start to like inform each other a little bit and shape each other's paths, if that makes sense? Or
Yes, in a way, absolutely. Because you can't have one without the other in a way. The people would be very different if the town had a different past than it does, especially with the echoes that are literal ghosts of this memory. And so they definitely informed one another. At first, I think it took a long time for the past to come into play. And I did draw some of that from how the characters were and how they interacted, and like lots of fear of abandonment or actual abandonment. And I had to think long and hard, or like, okay, why is this? And then the history of how the town came to be. And I think it was difficult. I did some research about like, not on any specific real town, just in terms of like things that happened to certain towns in the past. And there's a big history there in the US, and a history that's not very far removed, unfortunately. And so I wanted to think on, okay, this thing that happened not even 100 years ago, like how would that come into play for the people living, or not living? And I just said that I can't remember where the quote is from, but there's like the idea that water has memory, but also the idea that land has memory. And so this being such a small place, I just had to think about how the memory of this land, like how it imprinted itself both on the actual soil and on the people living there. And of course, you're going to have oral storytelling of things that happened, and like passing things down to one another. And so I just tried to think of like the stories that grandparents might tell to their children and their grandchildren, and how that affects everyone. And also, because of the thing that happened in Coldwater is literally still standing. It's a visual that you can see every day that you can't really avoid. Especially with this being such a small town, you sort of have to go in that direction. And even if you go from another direction, you can see it from elsewhere. So it sort of like looms over the town as much as it does the narrative, and as much as it does it the people. And so I wouldn't say I had fun playing with it, but it was an important important part of the book and all of the characters, including Jerrica, who doesn't exactly grow up here, but does now, being here, has to sort of face this legacy herself.
Yeah, there's so much going on with you know, people kind of being stuck in time, but also like, yeah, towns being stuck in time and sort of like having to grapple with the past. And so much of that actually takes the form of people confronting parents. There's so much intergenerational conflict and pain, but then also like a lot of healing and bonding in sort of what seems like really not ideal circumstances. Yeah, so when it comes to crafting like the you know, all of those really difficult like parent-child dynamics, Yeah, did you also see that as wrapped up, I guess? I'm not sure. Well, how am I going to phrase this? Like in the history of the place, because there's so much about people wanting to run, but also being stuck, you know, and it seems like kind of, I kind of lost the thread on that question, but.
No, I think I kind of get what you mean. I like to call myself a family-oriented sim, because I love playing The Sims. And so me and my family, on both sides, I'd like to think, are pretty close. And so that has always sort of informed a lot of my writing, just those relationships that I have with people. And I would say me and my mom are especially close. We're like best friends. We're not She had me as a teenager, and so we sort of grew up together. And so that I think is an important part of our dynamic. And I wanted that to be an important part of other characters' dynamics, not necessarily like growing up. Or yeah, because I think no matter how old your parents are, you're still going to grow up together. You're both, getting older. And so I wanted with Jerrica and her mom Lacey especially, I wanted they're both sort of displaced in a way you could say, because Jerrica's never felt that she has like a true home because they move so often. And then her mom is the reason, of course, that they're moving so often because her mom is sort of like running away from her own hometown and her own past. And now they're both ended up sort of stuck in this place. Although it is Lacey's choice to come back there, and it's not Jerrica's choice at all. And so that was already going to be an interesting dynamic between them. And then I did want this multi-generational family dynamic, of women especially, and of Black women especially, where there's just so much there, in general, from family relationships to just like the relationship of time, and especially with all of them not really knowing each other in a way, because of abandonment that happened. And so then it's to be especially in this place where this big town thing happened mostly to Black women, that very much affected their dynamics in that even though Graham is not actually from the town herself, she's fully woven into it. And I think that was mostly the thing of just like interwoven relationships, and you're all interwoven into the town now. You're my big tapestry, and so everyone's getting sort of quilted in together. Maybe with no escape, maybe with an escape. No one really knows, but I think that's important because you can choose your family in a sense in terms of found family, but when it comes to like who you're born with, you have no choice, and sometimes you don't have to be bothered with them. You can, go no contact or low contact. But I think at the end of someone's life, there's always that question and there's always that uncertainty where it's like, do you want to be there? Is it your responsibility to be there? No matter how they treated you, is this now the burden maybe is on you? Do you want to try to go for forgiveness or to forgive? And so I really wanted to play with that. And it's like at the end of the day, at the end of the life, what's important to you, and is it just for you, or is it for this other person? No matter what your relationship looked like before, no matter what it could be now in this small amount of time that you might have together. And that was really important for me to have all three of them explore because, there are so many potential relationships there and so many potential lost relationships there for them.
Yes. Yeah, it's really it's really moving and kind of fascinating too, the way that they're doing like a lifetime's worth of healing, like all three of them, with like this real looming not to put too fine a point on it, but deadline, right? Like there's a time frame in which they have to do this. And there's something really moving to me, I think, about the fact that Jerrica is, she's coming of age. She's like in that zone where she's starting to think about college and where she wants to go. And she is joining her grandmother at the end of life. And sort of like Jerrica is watching her mother and her mother is watching her mother. And like they're all kind of realizing that, like, no matter how old you get, you're always still kind of like a scared child a little bit, and there's something like that is like really upsetting about that vulnerability, like seeing, your elders that way, but also something really like bonding. And it really captures that like that tension, really well.
Thank you. Yeah, and I think it's such a fascinating dynamic because you always have to remember, like, your parents were kids and they have their own parents, and you don't really ever grow out of being a kid, like at heart and in your and yourself, especially when it comes sometimes to your parents. And just I think seeing if your dynamic with you and your parent is different from their dynamic with with them and their parent, that's always something that can be like confusing or difficult to wrap your mind around or just like fascinating. And so for me personally, that's always something that I thought was so interesting, like because I have a great relationship with my mom, and then my mom and her mom have had their own relationship. And so always watching that was always so interesting to me as a kid, especially because of course then I have my relationship with my grandmother. And so I was just always fascinated by those intergenerational relationships and how, like, you know, some people, it's all in all those like grandma shirts and things where it's like, oh, grandma life is the best life, or like it's, you know, because you're not raising the kid, you just get to sort of come in and cuddle and like, you know. And so that's always been fascinating to me. And I wanted to sort of write about that in real time, especially with the way that their relationships are, which is all very strained and confusing and interesting with one another. But yeah.
Yeah, it's so beautifully done, and you know, it's a book that's really going to stay with me for a while, and I'm very excited
Oh, thank
to
you.
share it with our readers and our listeners. Do you is anything on the horizon for you? I know that authors often can't talk about what's in the works, but are you writing right now or?
I am writing right now. I'm writing another YA, and I'm also working on another middle grade. So yeah, lots of writing going on. Thankfully, I'm excited about it.
Excellent. All right, great. So glad to hear that. Yeah, thank you again for joining us. Like this book is just so beautiful, and it's really going to be such a privilege to share it with our community. So thank you.
Thank you so much for your kind words. I'm glad you liked it.
Problem. Listeners, it's now your turn. Please check out Something Kindred. By the time that you hear this episode, it will be out in the world. So please go to your favorite independent bookstore or library, wherever you like to go for books. Thank you so much for joining us. It is now time to close this chapter.
It's time to close this chapter of Turn the Page. Join us for the next episode.